Welcome back to Beyond Well. I'm Sheila Hamilton, and this is a program for people who want to learn more about our interior lives. And as of more recently, we have really been looking at the connection between nutrition, our diets, and the way we live. Today, we're going to be talking with a man who knows all about it. Lee Brannon is a functional medicine practitioner who firmly believes in addressing the root causes of health issues, both mental and physical. And he has a really interesting story that can take us there. Hi, Lee. It's good to talk with you.
Hi, Sheila. It's great to be here, and thanks for having me.
So I always love it when functional medicine doctors share their personal stories. It sounds like yours was a painful one to begin with.
Indeed, yeah. So my story began when I was 13 years old. Like a lot of teenagers, I started getting acne. You know, I went to the doctor and I got creams and cleansers, and that didn't really do anything. In fact, it caused other problems for my skin. So then I went back to the doctor, and then he put me on antibiotics, and they worked for about 6 weeks, and then they stopped working. Even though I continued using antibiotics, my skin just continued to get worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And it continued for 18 years. I think a lot of people that have never had acne probably look at someone and say, well, you know, yeah, that doesn't look very nice, and, you know, it's a skin issue. But I think what most people probably don't appreciate is the mental, emotional aspects of that. You know, for me personally, it was soul destroying. It really knocked my self-esteem, my confidence. That goes into every area of your life. So obviously there was my school days, but then, you know, I was hoping, as most teenagers, that when your teenage years ended, my skin would just go back to normal. Well, it didn't happen for me. And so, you know, all through my whole 20s, you know, things like going for job interviews, going on dates, or even being in relationships can be really stressful, because you look in the mirror and you think you don't look very attractive. What do you expect your partner to think of you if you don't, right? You know, if you think you look awful yourself.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm sure that relationships ended because of my skin. I'm sure that I didn't get job promotions because of my skin, even if it was down to me not feeling confident looking that way. And people that suffer from acne will know that when they've got a job interview or a big event coming up or a hot date or where it might be, they start to get anxious that their skin's going to break out. And that anxiety in itself can cause a breakout. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're living in a world of a vicious cycle. Mm. But the good news is, after 18 years of struggle, I kind of fell into the solution in a strange way. To cut a long story short, I kind of found what the cause of my acne was. And rather than just trying to medicate it or medicate the symptoms, I treated it from the root cause.
You started with your gut?
I did. So interestingly, I went to see a guy. This was at the end of the long story. He tested me for food sensitivities, and he ran some other tests on me and found that I actually had a candida overgrowth. So he said, look, these are the foods you're sensitive to. You know, stop eating those. You've also got a fungal infection, so you need to avoid all these foods as well, which are predominantly sugary foods.
Yeah.
And reasonably quickly, my skin cleared up. Mm. You know, I went from having 2 breakouts a week to maybe 3 or 4 a year, very quickly. And then I continued my journey of healing the gut. And about 10 years after that, my acne is pretty much gone.
Yeah, you have beautiful skin.
Thank you.
I don't know whether it's the same for people who have hormonal acne, because hormonal acne, as you know, is caused by hormone imbalances rather than a gut imbalance. So what sort of advice do you have for those people who suffer from hormone-induced acne?
So that's a really interesting question, because even those two things are linked. When you look at acne, the first thing is there's so many different hormones that can potentially cause acne as well. So quite often when you think of hormonal acne, quite often people are thinking about the female menstrual cycle, which definitely can be the case. And I'll come to that in a second. The first thing that I always work with when I'm working with people with acne in particular is that when we eat certain foods, it stimulates hormone insulin. Insulin also stimulates another hormone called insulin-like growth factor 1. And they can also stimulate other hormones like testosterone, as an example. And what all of those hormones do that I've just mentioned is they stimulate, so they've got receptors on the sebaceous gland for these hormones. And what happens is it stimulates the sebaceous gland to release sebum. So that's the fatty oil that lubricates and protects our skin. So that's a natural thing that we should have in our bodies or in our skin. But when we have too much of those hormones, there's too much sebum being released. Now the pores can get blocked. So that's what can lead to, you know, blackheads, whiteheads, and other, you know, like cystic acne, nodules, things like that. That's one part of it. Interestingly, another hormone, cortisol, which is a stress hormone, also has receptors on the sebaceous gland. So that can also stimulate the sebaceous gland. But then another one that I think you might have been referring to is what's known as estrogen dominance. So estrogen obviously is the predominant female hormone, as we call it, even though men have it as well, but in a lot smaller quantities. Now, you can either have an excess of estrogen, or you can just have an imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, i.e. you could have a normal level of estrogen, but you could have a low level of progesterone. So both of those things would be considered an estrogen dominance. And again, when you've got an estrogen dominance, that can also cause acne. So that's kind of just looking at it from a purely hormonal causal factor. But the other thing that is important to understand as well is that the gut microbiome, so the microbes in our gut, they also synthesize hormones. Mm. So they help to make hormones. The other thing is that the liver helps to detoxify the hormones that we've already used and help to excrete them from the body. Now, if we're already overly toxic for whatever reason, the liver is like a juggler with five arms, juggling all these different roles. It has so many things to do. If you've already got a lot of toxins in the body, as an example, the liver can't deal with all the hormones. So what it tends to do is it recirculates them in the body. That's where you can end up with an excess. So rather than just saying, okay, well, let's look at the hormones, it's like, well, no, you've got to look at the gut microbiome and you've got to make sure that your body's not overloaded with toxins. And in my experience, when I've worked with people with acne, practically all of them have got some kind of toxic overload. So you've got to look at the gut. You've got to look at making sure your detoxification pathways are working really well so you can support the liver in different ways. But one of the main things that people need to do is also look at their environment and see where these toxins are coming from. It was interesting. I was on a call. I'd run some lab tests on a client. No skin issue, by the way, but just as an example. And we were running through his lab test results. And what was quite interesting, he had a clear sign of toxicity in his body, but yet this guy lives a lifestyle that's just unbelievably healthy. And then I said to the lady at the lab, I said, oh, by the way, this guy plays tennis and he plays golf. And she said, oh, that's interesting. She said, they spray a lot of chemicals on the golf courses, don't they? And I said, yeah. And I said, and the tennis club he plays at is a grass. He plays on grass.
Oh my gosh, how interesting.
He's in this environment where he could possibly be inhaling toxins from the air, from the golf course and from the tennis court. So for me, as a practitioner, I always need to try and investigate where the potential toxins are in someone's environment. And let me give you a quick example of one particular case I dealt with. So I had a 27-year-old lady, and she came to me in a panic because she was 6 months out from her wedding. And for the first time in her life, her skin had broken out, and it had broken out bad. And of course, you can imagine she's in a panic because she doesn't want to look like that on her wedding day. So we started making some changes to her nutrition, improved a tiny bit, but she was still panicking. We ran a test on her gut. There were some things that came up. I was helping her with those. One thing was a parasite infection. And again, it got a little bit better, but she's still panicking. Now we're 4 months out and she's like, I need to really sort this out. And then I said, look, let's run a heavy metals test. So we ran the heavy metals and everything came back clear apart from mercury. And it wasn't just high, it was like way off the chart. And she said to me, what could have caused that? Where's mercury in my environment? And I said, well, the most common thing is large fish, and in particular, tuna fish. And she stopped and she said, I've been eating that for lunch every day for the last 10 years. And I said, okay, well, you're going to need to stop it for a while. And I gave her a supplement, a liposomal L-glutathione. She started taking that to help detoxify the mercury from her blood. And within a few weeks, her skin was clear.
Oh, that's really incredible. I'm so struck by what you were saying about how acne in particular really impacts people's mental health. I know that it does, especially for adolescents and young adults where they're still in the dating thing. I want to talk about the microbiome and its impact on our mental health, because there was just a recent study out of Stanford that showed that people with severe schizophrenia and bipolar did way better on a keto diet, high fat and lots of meat. And so, you know, I know we're going to get into this era where people are saying you should do this diet or that diet. What is your advice as a functional medicine doctor for good mental health, for good clarity of the brain?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And yeah, I haven't seen that study, by the way, but I can make a good guess as to why that's the case.
I'd love to hear it.
When people go on those kind of diets, quite often they're cutting out foods that could well be causing inflammation in the body. If I backtrack a little bit, again, I'm going back to the gut and the gut microbiome. when there's inflammation in the body, one of the things that that can do is cause what's called leaky gut syndrome. So that's where in your gut there are like what are called tight junctions, and they should allow digested food to go through into the bloodstream so they can be sent to the cells where they're required. But when we have what's called a leaky gut, things can get through those tight junctions that are either foods that's not completely digested, or they could be toxins. So when they're released into the bloodstream, it causes what's called a systemic inflammation. So you're basically your immune system is attacking it. And when we get an immune response, we get inflammation. If someone's eating foods that their immune system is attacking, it's going to create this inflammation. Take those foods out of the diet, it's going to reduce inflammation. Now, the key thing, and you kind of think, what's that got to do with the brain, right? Well, there's something called the gut-brain axis. And basically what that is, it's a communication pathway between the gut and the brain. It's basically what's called the vagus nerve. And it's the biggest nerve in the human body. So it basically goes from most of your internal organs to the brain. Now, the interesting thing about the vagus nerve, it's 80% what we call afferent or sensory nerves, and 20% efferent or what we call motor nerves. What that basically means is there's much more information going from the gut to the brain than the brain to the gut. And what it's doing is it's giving information to the brain to the environment. Now, again, that might sound weird because your gut's on the inside, right? Well, in a way it is, but in a way it isn't, because your skin on the outside is a barrier. It's a barrier to the outside world. We've got lots of bacteria on our skin, and it's there for good reason. It's part of our immune system. But we have a tube that goes from our mouth and it comes out the other end. Well, it plays the same role. Now, things can get through our skin to a degree, and it's the same with our gut lining. What happens is that there is this communication between the gut and the brain. And what happens is if there's inflammation coming from the gut, that can basically cause inflammation in the brain, to cut a very long story short. And then once you've got inflammation in the brain, that starts to create issues with the brain. It can create mood changes, but it can create more serious conditions as well. So a lot of neurodevelopmental conditions. So things like can cause strokes, it can cause things like Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that as well. You know, it's really important that we look after the gut to help look after our brain and our mind.
I mean, that old saying, you are what you eat, has never been more true. Now the science is finally there to back it up. In America, the cost to see a functional medicine doctor is quite high. The supplements are high. The testing is high. A lot of it is not covered by insurance. So, how does a person adopt a diet or an approach to healing their gut and their brain?
The first thing I would say is the way that I work with people is that everyone's diet is individualized to that individual person. I would never suggest this is the right diet for everybody. That would be the first thing. There's a lady called Natasha Campbell-McBride, and she's got something called the GAPS diet. So that's the gut and psychology syndrome, I think it's called. You know, it's relatively simple. I mean, my recommendation generally for people, and it makes a lot of sense. Once I say it, you're going to say, well, of course, that makes sense. Eat as much food as you can that has one ingredient. So what I mean by that is if you're eating beef, if you look at the ingredient label, it should say beef, nothing else. I was once in San Diego in a Whole Foods, and I was buying some food, and I picked up some ground beef, and I just flipped it over and it said 100% grass-fed ground beef. I thought, great. And then it said sucrose. Why is sugar in there? Why do you need sugar in beef, right? If you're eating an apple, what's the ingredient? Apple.
Apple.
If you're eating a potato, what's the ingredient? It's potato. Now, some people will say, well, I'm too busy, I can't do this and I can't do that. And I would say, well, how important is your health to you? And I've been working with clients for 28 years. And the biggest thing I've seen when people come to me is that whatever challenge they have, it's preventing them from leading the life that they really want to lead. It's preventing them from doing things they enjoy. It's preventing them from having fun. It's preventing them from being happy.
It's a lot of the spiral that I worry about, especially with younger people. We're seeing really rising rates of depression and anxiety in America's young people. And I think, well, for the most part, they say that their enjoyment is when they're scrolling at home. So they're sedentary. They're probably not eating the right kind of foods. If you have that sort of mindset that that's your favorite thing to do is just sit and scroll. You can imagine popcorn is a lot better than eating a salad. So I'm curious if it's possible for a person who say they adopt a good diet, but they are sedentary, are their risks just as high as other people?
I mean, if they're eating a good diet, they're reducing risks for sure.
Yeah.
I remember studying with the American College of Sports Medicine back in the 1990s. And even then, I remember them saying a sedentary lifestyle is as bad or even possibly worse than cigarette smoking.
Yeah.
So when I look at someone holistically, I look at it from four different angles. So this is kind of a real helicopter view. What I teach my clients is that they need to check in with what I call the four doctors. Now, the four doctors live within you. You are your own doctor. And what you have to do is you check in on how you're feeling. And the four doctors are Dr. Happiness, Dr. Quiet, Dr. Diet, and Dr. Movement.
I've
All
never
right.
heard that before, and I love it. That's a really nice analogy.
That was taught to me by one of my teachers, Paul Check. He's the founder of the Check Institute in San Diego. And what that is, first of all, be clear on what makes you happy. Be clear on what are your goals in life? What are your passions? And then set the rest of your life around doing as much of that that makes you happy as possible.
That's beautiful.
And then once you've set your goals, that gives you the motivation to eat right and to move right. Dr. Diet is all about sleep, recover, also introspection, which is also important as well. Dr. Diet is to do with eating right and drinking right, but it's also about eating right for your individual needs. Because as I said earlier, we're all different. Someone was interviewing me the other week, and let's just say we looked very different. We were different colors, different color eyes. She had dark hair. I used to have light hair. I don't have so much these days. When we can look so different, what would make you think that our genetic requirements
Well, that's so true, isn't
would be
it?
any different?
Yeah.
And there was an American dentist called Weston A. Price, and he traveled the globe in the 1920s and 30s, and he wanted to model health. So he traveled all around the world, and he was particularly looking to study tribes who had never kind of been affected by Western society. So they were still the hunter-gatherer types. And wherever he went in the world, the people thrived when they ate the natural diet that was local to them. As soon as they moved away from their natural environment or they started trading with Westerners, their health would absolutely plummet. As an example, what he found was that Aboriginals that lived on the coast did really well on a diet high in fish with a little bit of vegetables because that was what was available to them. But when he visited Aboriginals in the middle of the continent, he found that they survived predominantly on plants and they ate a little bit of animal foods, but it was mainly like grubs. And they thrived on that because that's how their ancestors had evolved for thousands of years. That's why it's kind of important to work out how or what is right for you. And that's a process I take my clients through. And it often takes weeks, can take months actually. And it is a relatively simple process whereby people, they fill in a diet sheet each time they eat, and then 1 to 2 hours afterwards, they tick boxes on how they responded to that meal because each time we eat, it affects our energy, our emotions, and our levels of satiety, cravings, or how full we are. And by going through a process of, I know people don't like to hear this, so we're very scientific, but it is a process of trial and error. Your body will tell you what you need.
Even without the checklists and the writing it down, if you just pay attention to how you feel within an hour to 2 hours, if you just feel, am I energized? Do I feel like I have more productivity? Or do I feel like I need a nap? That's so often traced back to what people eat. And I remember the first time I was with my partner who didn't pay much attention to his diet when I met him. And after he'd had a big cheesy sandwich, I said, I want you to check in with like how you feel right now. And he said, well, I'm really sleepy. I could use a nap. And I said, tomorrow, I would really like you to have a salad with some fish on it. And then we're going to check in again. And he did it. And he's like, I never thought about the connection between my energy level and the food I was putting in, which is just outrageous for those of us that pay attention. But I do think a lot of people never really equate their energy level with their nutrition level.
Yeah, that's quite amazing. And again, when you're checking in with each of your doctors, when you're checking in with Dr. Diet, that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, right, how do I feel after, I had that meal 90 minutes ago, how am I feeling? Or with Dr. Movement, you're waking up in the morning and you're saying, how does my body feel? How much movement does my body need today? Can it handle intense movement today? Or does it need to do a bit of yoga or Tai Chi? Or do I just need to go for a walk in the forest? It's all about checking in with what you need at that particular time.
Remind me again the four doctors that we need to check in with every day.
Yeah, so Dr. Happiness, Dr. Quiet, Dr. Diet, and Dr. Movement.
Because so much of our happiness relates to how we feel about our body, whether we're at our so-called target weight. Many women still believe in that idea that there's the perfect weight they want to reach. How do we stop believing that our happiness is tied to our body image if indeed we're eating healthy, we're moving right, we're doing the things that we need to be supplementing our health?
Yeah, I would look at that. If anyone is feeling that way, and listen, I completely understand the pressure that some people feel under, particularly women, in
Yeah.
terms of how they should look a certain way. That's kind of society. But I guess my advice would be, actually, I would ask them a question. Why is it important for you to please someone else? Why do you care what someone else thinks? If you're clear on what your goals are and you're living your life in accordance with the way you want to live it, you know, you're taking care of Dr. Movement, Dr. Quiet, Dr. Diet. You're having fun. You're enjoying life. Why let someone else's thought about you affect your happiness?
That's beautiful. I do think that early on, girls get their own idea and their own imagery about what they want their body to be, even if their body type is not meant to be that at all, and then set themselves up for a lifetime of disappointment that they're not that body style that they have, or at least society has told them is the one that they want or should have. And I've often thought about that, how many of my friends, they'll have total happiness in every single area of their life, but I say, "Are you happy?" And they'll be like, "Oh, I still have that 5 pounds to lose." And I just keep thinking, "No, there's got to be more, you know? There's got to be more."
And my question would be, what is it about losing 5 pounds that would make you happier than you are now?
Yeah, because it's just like the promotion, you know, you work so hard to get it and then you're there and all of a sudden it's normal again and you're thinking, wait a minute, there's got to be something higher than this, better than this. Versus I think that brings us to the last doctor, which is Dr. Still. And that is that acceptance and quiet that we can find in ourselves that's our inner guidance.
Absolutely.
I have wanted to say the name of your book, and it talks about much more than just our skin. It's called Eliminating Adult Acne for Good. But the principles of functional medicine are so important for anybody that's dealing with a skin issue, a gut issue, a mental health issue. You've got to start from the ground up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the first two chapters of my book, I go through the medical approach and I explain, let's just say, the pluses and the minuses. But the rest of the chapters are really teaching people how to get healthy. Because what I've learned over the last 30 years is that health and disease can't live in the same body. So if you've got acne and you get healthy, guess what? You won't have acne anymore. So those seven chapters, I'm teaching people how to follow their four doctors.
I love it.
You know, in the book, I talk about if you take this medication, these are the side effects. If you take this medication, these are the side effects. And some of them are horrendous. Cancers, suicide, they're really horrendous. And then I make a little statement at the end of that chapter and I say, look, I have to be completely transparent. When clients go through my acne program, they also have side effects. Would you like to know what they are? They lose weight, they have more energy, they sleep better, they don't have cravings, they get more confident, they get their self-esteem back, they perform better at work, they perform better in sport, they live a more productive life and they're happier.
Lee Brannon, it's been a terrific interview. Thank you so much for talking with us. I hope to meet again.
Thank you for having me, Sheila.